New ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. Today, I'm interviewing two guests from SendBird, a San Francisco-based B2B startup providing chat and messaging API for mobile apps and web services. My first guest, Mark Lee, recently participated in the Slush 100 pitching competition, a nonprofit event where over 1,000 startups pitched top-tier international investors, executives, and media. SendBird was one of the final four companies. As head of growth at the company, Mark oversees acquisition of mid-market and enterprise customers, developing global scale partnerships, and building a corporate strategy for SendBird's global expansion. My other guest is Yeguem Lee, who, before joining the growth team at SendBird, was an analyst at such companies as GMO and Rothschild. He was also content and growth manager at Mango Plate, a Korean restaurant recommendation app somewhat similar to Yelp that raised over $6 million in funding last year. Mark and Yeguem, thank you so much for joining us today. So you're speaking to us from Korea, and I think it's already 10 a.m. tomorrow there, which seems appropriate because your technology is really pushing boundaries and bringing us the future today. So I think that's kind of fun. Before we dive too deep into it, I wanted to back up, and I wanted to know if you could take me back to the beginning and SendBird's origins and just give me a little picture so that the people listening can understand how it all started.
Okay, so SendBird is a one-stop messaging solution for online video streaming and mobile video application. So SendBird is actually providing all fully customizable user interface and software development kit for all major platforms such as iOS and Android or even web product. And we also support the scalable infrastructure that is supporting millions of users in our backend. So SendBird was created in the early of 2015 as we pivoted from our previous company, which was the Local Moms Community Service. And this was our second startup. And our first startup was a social gaming company. So we was there implementing a lot of devices, how we can increase the user retention and engagement into our service. So after selling our company to one of the Japanese game publisher, which was publicly traded back in 2012, we tried to understand like how the millennials communicate better on top of the like core content of online media and entertainment. So that's how we brought out here with SendBird with the like over 3,000 apps globally.
That's amazing. I mean, I think there are a number of things you just touched on, which are so interesting. First, that you started this out really as a community-based application around a moms group to connect nearby moms together. And so it really, you were solving this problem and then looking at it and saying, how can we make this communication more effective? And it really ramps up the engagement. And everyone is talking a lot about messaging. And in media, you know, we talk about social platforms, but if we really drill into the growth at social platforms, where the growth is coming is the messaging component. And that's because precisely what you just said, which is the millennials are really, that's where their engagement is. And in some ways, I've read some articles where they're migrating actually off of social platforms and moving into messaging applications. And first, I guess, sort of a big picture thing. Do you believe that that's true, that it's a movement away from conducting socialization within the platform into a messaging app? Do you think that's the case?
Gabriella, I think you touched on a very interesting point. And that is, I think, partially true and not. In the case that that millennials are leaving the social platform for the messaging apps, I think that you can say yes and no both to that, because the context of usage and the time spent on both platforms are just diverting and shifting these days. But not everyone is totally leaving one or the other, because the usage cases for social media and messaging platforms have been quite clearly defined these days compared to the other end of the days where people chose one over the other.
Right.
What that means is, you know, basically for companies that have content that users come on board to observe, basically social media channels have become ways to acquire and advertise and market their content on the platform. And messaging applications or messaging within their own platform has been a ways for the companies to actually interact with the viewers or the audience, and also at the same time for viewers and audience to participate in content creating. One interesting example I can give you is PikiCast, which is the leading millennial entertainment content provider in Korea. They have about, I think, 10 million users a month. And what they do is basically they broadcast live videos targeted towards millennials. And what they used to do is they used to throw out snippets of those videos on Facebook, basically, and acquire their initial set of users. And when we met them was actually when they started to run into their second KPI, which is for a lot of marketing executives these days, besides acquiring, you know, customers, another KPI that they used to track these days is engagement or retention.
Yes.
And for PikiCast, what they decided to do was, we have so many of these viewers, what can we actually do in terms of increasing our engagement and retention? And, you know, one simple way is to actually just keep doing what they're doing, just produce more content, produce better content. But right. At the same time, marketing executives and, you know, product managers were thinking about what are some other ways the product itself can change. And that's when they introduced in-app messaging within their platform. So what that means is, on top of PikiCast's online video stream, they basically slapped on Zenbird's in-app messaging platform so that the viewers can participate in the content real-time. So the live video sessions would actually provide feedbacks back to the users, read what the users are planting up, so that the content creation part itself is integrated with users' engagement itself. And then the second part is by analyzing users' engagement real-time, they were able to produce content that is more... So the next iteration of the content was a lot more catered towards the audience that had previously been on their platform.
Right. So in terms of your engagement, and that's absolutely the hot thing for all the media companies, is this engagement, and everybody wants to retain their audience, and that engagement is this key for retention. How you've done some research around what the impact of having this level of live real-time engagement is, and what is that? I mean, it really does have a kick. What is that number?
So for PikiCast, you know, going back to PikiCast examples, we have a couple examples, but PikiCast really had an amazing example where they increased the user participation rate by 30-fold.
Wow.
Post-integrating in-app messaging.
PikiCast previously had a conventional commenting system, which required the login and making up a user profile and picture. But like after they shifted to live chat on top of video, the users' engagement will become more easier, like without any hassle or login. So like millennials' hurdles to participation is much more easier to just participate. Previously, when they just live the one session of entertainment show, there was around 6,000 like commenting like over 2 to 3 days even after the show. But after changing into real-time video session, like within just 1 or 2 hours, they had gathered more around like 200,000 like reply in the real-time chat. So that was really amazing. And one interesting factor they figured out was it also impact on the like content creation itself. So when PikiCast live the show and broadcast it, They also measure some AOL metrics, which was left on loud, which means when there's some young millennials typing some AOL in during the real-time video streaming, the analyzer behind the show also analyzing which part was the most interesting by like millennials typing into some AOL metrics. So which by having more like exponentially growing number of that kind of reaction from the millennial, PKCast is a real time, like making the show more interesting using that people's increase the user engagement.
Right. Now, one of the things I read about, and I wasn't sure quite how it worked, was could you have discrete groups chatting? For instance, if I'm a huge fan of a certain football team, and if Sendbird were implemented in the United States when the football game were on, could me and all my fanatical fan friends all be commenting live together within the within it? Is that something that it would work that way? Sort of as a social community on top of the stream that would be our sort of fan group?
So what you just said is basically one of the basic features that we provide. So you can talk one-on-one, you can talk with your group, your whether open or public, and then you can also join, you know, for PKCast case going back, you know, they had about hundreds of thousands of users in one single channel. All of that is possible.
Well, how do you, I mean, one of the things I'm curious about is how do you take care of things like trolling or antisocial behaviors? How are they possible to be moderated in this live, real-time environment?
Absolutely. So the fun part is our tool is a very high-tech tool, but at the same time, we also provide moderation tools where, you know, marketers or content creators or community managers can use real time so that they can monitor channels. And we provide, you know, tools like profanity filters, spam flood protection, that the show host can preset so that when the show goes live or when the content is live, you know, the type of conversation can be moderated.
Right, right. Now, how scalable is something like this?
So we already support about 5 million chat users each monthly. And for a single channel, it can go up from one user to any as high as 500,000 users in one single chat room. Which
I'm sure any network would be like really happy to have that many people engaged in their product. They'd figure it out, I suppose, right? So
yeah.
Are you now, and pardon me, I am not a technical person, and I'm trying to share, you know, obviously I understand the what of what you're doing, but not the technology behind it. So are you guys managing it or are you licensing it? If I'm a network and I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to do a live musical, and I think it would be really great if I had the ability to layer in this real-time engagement with my viewers. As the network, would I license your content and then my tech team would manage it, or would I partner with you and you would manage it? How does that work?
Yes. I think you are correct. What happens is if you have your broadcasting channel or your own app, you basically license our technology, and then you embed into your service, and then you go live. It's like a plug and play type of service.
Okay, I see. And so that lets then the developers build on to it as they will to customize it to fit their needs and to do this these different components, I guess, that you're talking about, the different levels of moderation or throttling, I guess, of when stuff goes through.
Yes.
Right. So tell me about you just had this big presentation where the slush pitching competition. Tell me a little bit about that and then what that means, you know, what achieving that great success there, what that means for you in terms of your growth, exposure, what does that mean?
Slush is one of the largest European startup conference. We were part of the conference to acquire more European customers. But at the same time, luckily, we were chosen as one of the top finalists at the Slush 100 pitching competition. And Slush 100 pitching competition is one of the major events for the conference, which had 2,300 startups at the initial stage, and having it down to like finalists with four startups, and Sandberg was chosen to be one of the finalists to the final stage.
Yeah, I mean, so that's not luck. That's a really good product right there. I mean, you know, I think using the word luck is very kind, but I really think it's because you have a very robust offering and you should brag a little. But anyway, continue.
And at Slush, we had a meeting with a range of tech companies and gaming studio, which is based on Helsinki. And we figured out most of them also interested in creating some video platform using their proprietary gaming contents. And sometimes the content itself try to broadcast people's playing the video game as a form of esports, and also try to just aggregate other content from other mobile application players. So it was very interesting dialogue, having those type of conversation with our potential customer, even inside the gaming studio in Helsinki.
Right. Well, and so if it is this sort of esports thing, where they are showing the gameplay, I mean, that's the kind of thing my kids like watching that stuff. How would my experience, because right now, if I remember what my kids have shown me properly, there is sort of commenting that can happen live, but the degree that what Sendbird is doing is actually a real level up of that, right? Can you explain how it's different, how it's changing from simply posting a live comment to how is it, what makes it qualitatively different for the user?
Yes. So there are a couple ends that makes it different. So from one end, on the user side, one of the differences can be that the content development that you're watching itself can actually take your comment into consideration of the play.
Okay.
So basically, comment is, you know, just used to be where just commenting, where the commenters see each other's comments, right?
Right.
But on our case, actually the moderator or actually the player on the other side of the content generation actually watches the comments and interacts with the crowd lifetime. And the second part is the quality of conversation. Which by that means is, if you think about like a game esport channel where one game is attracting, let's say, 100,000 viewers at the same time, 100,000 people cannot actually talk to each other at once, right?
Right.
So what we provide is the technology for the moderator to automatically scale the level of the conversation. So technically what that means is when 100,000 people logs into a single chat room, we sort of divide them automatically into a sizable chat room so that the conversation inside each chat room can actually be a qualitatively continuable and sustainable conversation.
I see.
And when people start to leave, we start to merge the chat room so that the conversation is also continuable. And then if the room starts to get larger, then we start to divide up the rooms again.
What is the optimal room size?
So that is also part of our proprietary strength.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. So, no. I mean, basically, I can't give you a clear answer because it depends on the content type, whether it's like, you know, simple media, or is it like esports, or is it sports, or is it gaming, or is it movies, or is it broadcasting docs. So it depends on the content.
So we usually work with the client, starting with the one or two session as a pilot study. And after having the pilot study done, we studied the user's behavior and their number of messaging and session duration time. So normally some of our client, like live Newsmax TV, which is one of the cable TV content media running their website and integrating our solution on top of their video. And their major audience is over like 40 to 50 and more likely to watch the news content. And their some speed of messaging is a little bit slower than what we witnesses from the esports. And most of the like audience is like late of a teenager or like 20. So there are some like speed of the messaging and level of engagement is much higher than those of like viewer of news content. So like our pilot study, like initially working with the clients really helped us to figure it out what would be the optimized size of the room. And what is the like optimized like speed of the message should be displayed on the screen?
Right. Now, have you ever worked with entertainment companies and scripted programming, like the type of things you might see like Westworld or Stranger Things or American Horror Story, where you have hyper interested fans who are, you know, posting on Reddit and deconstructing the episode? It seems like a natural fit. Have you integrated with any of that kind of content as of yet?
Yeah. One of our customers that are similar to it is called 9Gag. It's one of the largest community website that actually does what you just said, basically post content and dissect it through the community members. Basically, create conversations around maybe one snippet of something. Are you aware of the site?
I was not. I'm not aware of the site.
It's a U.S. somewhat like Reddit, but it's the other version in these states.
Okay. I mean, I'm wondering if sort of rather than have it be an external, like that's commenting whether the direct originator of the content, you know, like HBO or those companies, like either in the States or in some other location where you're actually showing the content and having the conversation at the same time, or a major sports franchise like Major League Soccer or, you know, obviously Premier League or something like that, where you have these hyper engaged people who I think would be naturals, like they love this stuff. And have you connected with them?
Mm-hmm. So we have LG U+. LTE video photo, which is over-the-top video mobile streaming service provided by one of the largest company in Korea, LG.
Okay.
And they adopted our solution for the final season for Korean Baseball League. So Korean Baseball is, which is well-known as one of the very hot league in the world. So they adopted to enabling fans to support each team's. They just cheer,
right?
And which was amazing. Like increased the number of users' session duration time, like multiple, like two times compared to like what it had with the like conventional commenting system. So it was the like last year's some of the progress we gained.
Right. Wow. It's very interesting stuff that you guys have. It's so impressive. I really think it's, especially as everybody's looking for engagement, and certainly with broadcast networks who they're really going for live because that's what's going to, people are going to tune in a linear fashion. I think this piece is one of the missing pieces, and I expect that we're going to see more from you, and I think, you know, it's going to be really great. So to wrap it up, I guess, what's the thing you're most excited to be working on?
One of the interesting part is Facebook and Google and Microsoft. They all announced the messaging as their core growth engine, and all the other like IT company and entertainment be a part of their journey. But as Yegyeon mentioned, one of the very interesting part is we are like giving an arsenal to those entertainment company. Like they can, so they cannot relying on the just a messaging platform themselves. Right. So they can just leverage the benefit of messaging platform itself. And also they can integrate some interesting messaging functionality inside their application without any minimize the cost. So we are really excited too. helping media company to like gain the take advantage of the full potential of messaging inside their application. That's the interesting part.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with both of you, and I'm sad to say we've reached the end of our episode. So thank you for taking the time to talk with me. You've been really great, and I think the product is great, and I think it's been a great interview. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
We've reached the end of our episode, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who have helped to bring the program to life. First, my friend Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And a big thank you to our guests and new friends, Mark Lee and Ye Yim Lee. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week right here on Up Next.